At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
The Australian Labor Party continues to face a number of challenges, including their identity and re-establishing what the party stands for. There have been lots of stories about the Labor Party, and this is a generalisation, losing its soul, losing its way. We've actually talked to a few people about that on the program, and I've also sort of reminisced about my dad was a solid Labor Party bloke in the old days when he used to say, we used to have some really good discussions about politics, and he would say, the Labor Party stands for the working man. The Labor Party stands always stands for the working man. Well, of course, John Howard stole the Labor Party's lunch, really, when John Howard's battlers came along.
They voted for him. So
the world has sort of changed, but Labor really didn't change much with it. Now, Luke Foley, who's the opposition leader in New South Wales, they've got the conference coming up, and he's planning to put forward the view that they should cut their connection with socialism and Labor should embrace competitive markets and individual freedom. And I thought, it's a good idea. Maybe he could send that message to the Liberal Party as well, because they're not exactly embracing free markets and individual freedom, although they always say they do.
And some of the Laborites could admit to driving BMWs and things.
However, we put our toe in the water a moment ago, and instantly we got Labor people saying, no, don't do that. Luke Foley, the opposition leader, is on the line. Good morning, Luke.
George and Paul, how are you?
Good. G'day, Luke.
Good. Actually, I was surprised at the response we just got from listeners who said, no, it'd make... to make the Labor Party a bit too much like the Liberal Party?
Well, the starting point for me is that the language of our party's official objective is arcane. We arrived at it in 1921. It was amended in the most minor of ways on a couple of occasions through the decades. But essentially, the language has remained since 1921, and no one in the party or outside it thinks that today the objective of the central defining purpose of the Australian Labor Party is state ownership.
Yeah, because that's what socialism is. That's when the government owns everything and basically everybody works for the government. You're quite right. It is an outdated concept, and it never ever really worked anywhere, not even in Cuba. However, they're saying embrace competitive markets and individual freedom. That really is the reality today, isn't it, in many ways?
Well, what I've said is that we should not confuse means and ends. State ownership was always the mean. What's the end that our party works for? For me, the Labor Party believes in a just society. Well, why don't we say that? That's the end we work towards. How we get there, we can be open-minded about how we achieve that. And I think we ought to say that in the 21st century, we, unlike our conservative opponents, believe in an active role for government as a regulator, as a redistributor, sometimes as an owner of essential services. And we also believe in competitive markets, creating the economic growth that the people we represent rely on.
Isn't that a bob each way?
Well, it may be, but a mixed economy. I think everyone living in the real world believes in a mixed economy, believes that an enterprising private sector has to exist alongside an essential public sector. And it's the ends, fellas, that the Labor Party has to be concerned with. And what I say is we should enshrine as our objective the end that we're working towards, which is a just and equitable society. That's what the Labor Party's about, in my view.
Yeah, but does anyone know what the end that you're working towards
is? Yeah, what
does
just mean? What does equitable
mean? You are
mean?
Never, ever, Luke, going to change the core and the backbone of the Labor Party. And the Labor Party is brother, comrade, solidarity, unionism. That's the way that it's been, as George just said. His dad said it's for the worker.
Yeah,
but
yeah, hang on, Dad wasn't a socialist. Dad was an ordinary working bloke who believed Labor was about the working.
A Labor man who believed that Labor was about the worker. But, you know, we have friends, my partner and I have friends, who are very wealthy, And they are Labor voters and they are Labor supporters because they started out that way and they ended up with a nice business and a nice house.
But do they believe in giving their business to the government to look after?
Not in the least, no.
But so they're not socialists?
They still vote for Labor.
So That's my point, Paul.
Yeah, but if you want to get rid of the socialist component out of it, it looks to me as though you're looking for votes rather than something that you can actually get rid of from it.
No, Paul, I'm not doing this for votes. I don't think this objective costs us a vote because the truth is no one in Australia thinks the Labor Party today believes in nationalisation as its central objective. I mean, the High Court had something to say about that in 1949 when it stopped the Commonwealth government nationalising the banks. It hasn't even been an achievable objective for 65 years, even if the Labor Party did want to nationalise every business in this country, which of course we don't. What the Labor Party is about, and you really said it, Paul, is a fair go for the ordinary person.
Absolutely.
And I think our objective ought to say that. That's always been what we're on about, not nationalising every business in the country.
Yeah, actually, I'm with you on that, Luke. And Paul gave us a great example just then a second ago of people who are quite wealthy, well-off, run businesses, call themselves Labor voters and at heart socialists. Well, if they're socialists, give your bloody money to the government. They're hypocrites. They're not socialists at all. They just talk the talk. They don't walk the walk.
Well, I want people to understand that if you believe in a meritocracy, if you want to achieve in life and do well, earn good money, set your kids up to do well, give them a top education, and you have a compassionate heart, the Labor Party's for you.
And you're not a socialist if you believe in all those ideals you just spoke about. You're not a socialist.
But if you have a compassionate heart and if you believe in a helping hand...
Yeah, well, people who aren't socialists
who
also... But hang on a second. People who aren't socialists can also have a compassionate heart. Everything you laid out then about wanting a fair go, get ahead in life, a bit of individual rights and responsibility, look after your family, help people in need. You ain't a socialist if you believe in all those things.
That's just normal business.
That's my point, fellas.
Yeah.
The Labor Party's not working for a socialist Australia.
Yeah, and could you send the message over to the Liberals as well, if you wouldn't mind?
Well, I did make the point in the lecture the other night, George, when I talked about the objective, that the party that allegedly believes in free markets rushing off to court to force all our electricity prices higher. There's a bit of a contradiction there.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, wish you good luck. We think, sorry, to be quite honest, we think you're pushing it uphill, but you make a lot of sense in what you're saying with the 21st century and where Labor should be. It really does need to find itself.
Yeah, at least you're out there, Luke. Yeah. Good on you.
Well, our national conference is in a fortnight, and I've put the proposal. I think a set of words arrived at in 1921. I mean, when the flames of the Russian Revolution were still burning, are hardly relevant 94, 95 years later.
I agree with you. Thanks for your time. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for coming on the show, Luke. Bye.
Luke Foley, New South Wales opposition leader. Mm.